It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
In their first weekly interview, Amelia chats about Chris Hipkins' so-called policy bonfire, the debate around mitigation and adaption policies, and the importance of amplifying the youth voice in politics. Here's James Shaw now.
On Monday, Chris Hipkins announced that he was cutting some climate policies, including the clean car upgrade and the social leasing car schemes, saying that the government needed to focus on bread and butter issues in the name of the cost of living crisis. What did you make of these policy announcements?
Well, I mean, I was disappointed, to tell you the truth. Both the clean car upgrade and the other one were both designed to support low-income households into cheaper forms of transport, right? So they were actually, the emissions reductions from both of those two policies together wasn't actually all that great, but that wasn't their primary purpose. The primary purpose was actually to support low-income households. So if you're kind of focusing on bread and butter issues, I would have thought that would have been, ones that you wouldn't have dropped.
The Prime Minister said that you, Marama Davidson and him had a really positive conversation prior to the announcement. What can you tell us about this conversation? Was it positive from your perspective?
Well, I mean, in the sense that, you know, we've had a long and constructive working relationship with Labor across two terms of government now. And, you know, as with any government, you have your ups and downs during the course of that time. But the important thing is to maintain the relationship. And so in that sense, yes, it was positive and constructive, although we did express our disappointment with some of the decisions that he'd made.
Along those same lines, over the weekend, the Prime Minister said that he doesn't accept that the extension of the reduced fuel excise tax would increase emissions. This is despite evidence that said the opposite. What do you think about these comments, and is this something that you're going to continue to discuss with the government?
It absolutely is. I mean, we know that certainly the modelling does suggest that there is an increase in emissions from the fossil fuel subsidies. And of course, you know, fossil fuel subsidies around the world demonstrate that actually emissions do go up when you subsidise them. I think his overall point, which is that we still need to live within the targets and the emissions budgets that we've set for ourselves, that still stands, but it does mean that we're going to have to make it up elsewhere, and it's not immediately clear where we will be able to make it up, because it's pretty tight and we don't have a lot of time.
The most recent One News poll showed the Greens up 4% to 11%, and for Labor to form government, they will need help from the Green Party. How can you convince voters that voting Green will actually have a positive impact on climate policy, given you'd potentially be working with a party that has just shown its willingness to cut climate policies?
Well, you have to remember that at the moment, Labor don't need our votes to govern, which means that they kind of have carte blanche over those decisions. If you said after the election that, you know, they could only form a government with the Greens, that gives us substantially more leverage to be able to ensure that the next government is the strongest that we've ever had when it comes to action on climate change. And in order for that to happen, I need more Green members of Parliament, and I need more Green ministers, and they need to be sitting around the cabinet table when it comes to those sorts of decisions.
So where does the Green Party go from here? Can you take any positives out of the situation and perhaps use it to your advantage in luring votes across from Labor?
Well, I mean, I think it is really kind of obvious now that that Green Party is the party in Parliament that takes action on climate change the most seriously, and that if people do want a government that really does lead on climate change, then it needs to have a strong Green hand in it.
And just moving on a bit, in the light of the weather disasters we've had this year, we've seen a lot of discussion about switching tack to climate adaptation-focused policies because people think it's too late for climate mitigation policies to work. What do you make of this idea?
Well, it's completely wrong. I mean, it is good that people are now talking about adaptation to the effects of climate change, because I have to say it has been quite difficult to get traction on that issue over the last 5 years. And it is really unfortunate that it takes a couple of natural disasters in order to get people's minds focused on it. But it cannot come at the expense of cutting the pollution that causes climate change in the first place. And the kind of analogy that I've been using for that is that that would be like saying that I'm going to sort of focus my efforts on bailing water out of my house, but I'm not going to fix the hole in the roof that the water's coming through in the first place. And what that means is that you're always bailing water, and you never, that's not adaptation at all, and that's barely coping.
And just finally, we had the school strike for climate a few weeks back, which the Green Party has been supportive of. And last month, when you exited the race for Wellington Central and backed a 25-year-old Tamitha Paul, you said it was to make room for what you called a new generation of political leadership. Are you just able to talk a bit about why you think it's important to support and amplify the youth voice in politics, especially as climate change becomes more of a confronting issue?
Well, it's critical because obviously, you know, younger people are going to grow up in, into a world that is transformed by climate change, and in which the events of the last couple of months are sort of considered small fry by comparison. And so I think it is really important that young people are able to be in a position where they can lead and where they can be in actual decision-making roles in order to have some say over that future, because I think generally politics is heavily weighted in favour of the status quo, and it's heavily weighted in favour of generations whose lives aren't going to be significantly impacted by the effects of climate change.
That was Amelia chatting with Green Party co-leader James Shaw, and stay tuned next week for more chats with James Shaw.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.
The Wire.